Welcome to another episode of The Good Listening To Show, your life and times with me, Chris Grimes, the storytelling show that features The Clearing, where all good questions come to get asked and all good stories come to be told, and where all my guests have two things in common. They're all creative individuals and all with an interesting story to tell. There are some lovely storytelling metaphors. A clearing, a tree, a juicy storytelling exercise called 5-4-3-2-1, some alchemy, some gold, a cheeky bit of Shakespeare, and a cake. So it's all to play for. So yes, welcome to The Good Listening To Show, your life and times with me, Chris Grimes. Are you sitting comfortably? Then we shall begin. We're in. So welcome to a very special episode of The Good Listening To Show, Stories of Distinction and Genius. I'm Chris Grimes. I'm a motivational comedian and personal impact coach. And this, very importantly, is Caroline, as she's saying on her name tag, Iron Ostomy Bramwell. Caroline was passed the golden baton to be in the show by Raffaella Reeve-Ilgenfritz, who is the creative director of UK Health Radio. You appeared on her show very recently, Caroline, I gather.
Did, yes, about at the beginning of last month, I think it was. Episode 24, I do remember that.
And I've described you as being a health choices trailblazer and inspirational speaker. You're here to inspire businesses, students, and all other individuals the world over with your extraordinary story of, if I may reference the Daily Stoic, the idea of the obstacle is the way. You can obviously get on the open road shortly, but you had an ulcerative colitis diagnosis, and then you turned to sport after having major surgery to have your large intestine removed and a permanent ileostomy formed. Now, that's an extraordinary diagnosis and confrontation. And as you say, of your own volition, you know, your resilience is only truly tested when the barriers are presented. So it's a complete privilege to have you here, and we're
Thank
really
you.
Excited to get you on the open road. But if someone says, oh, hello, what do you do then? So what's your favourite way of avoiding or answering the question? So why Iron Ostomy Bramwell? What would you say Caroline is all about?
Caroline has two sides to her. She's a professional businesswoman doing PR and marketing by day. And like Superman or Superwoman, when I'm not on my screen, I'm wearing Lycra. So I am a triathlete and inspirational speaker in that realm.
And in your book, Canon, I love the title in researching you, From Loo Rolls to Lycra is what you have written, which I commend you for your title, Caroline.
Oh, I credit my husband. I came up with some really cheesy ones that would never have got away with it with the publisher. So my husband came up with Loo Rolls to Lycra.
But what's so lovely and positive and affirmative about what you're doing, you know, From Loo Rolls to Lycra is chronicling the extraordinary journey of new choices, you know, of your own volition, moving from being a self-confessed couch potato, petrified of water immersion, unable to swim, you transformed to a tough, can-do individual and now doing Ironman triathlons. And as we've already sort of touched upon, our resilience isn't ever truly tested until the obstacles are presented. So do you want to just tell the story behind the story of what brought you to being who you are and what you do?
Yeah, of course. I was pregnant with my second child. And at that point, I was at that point where I kept having to dash to the toilet. I thought bleeding meant I was losing a baby, but it wasn't. Bit of conversation with the GPs. They thought it was like inflammatory bowel, generally, you know, IBS, that sort of thing.
Yes.
But the way mine presented, they started to suspect it was a bit more than just an IBS. And I couldn't have the colonoscopy done until after I was 6 months pregnant for risk of the baby. But at just over 6 months pregnant, they put the scope in and confirmed it was ulcerative colitis, which is an autoimmune disorder, where your body, the way I always describe it, your body's system to fight off viruses normally has its guns shooting outwards. What it did is turns them inwards. So it's basically, it thinks your body is the virus. So it's your own immune system attacking.
There's an equivalence in the world of sepsis in that regard as well, isn't it? Because that's another autoimmune way of attacking our own system.
Absolutely.
From within.
Yeah. Yes. And so Natasha was born by cesarean, because she was stubborn breech baby, wouldn't turn around. So she had to be a C-section. And within 2 weeks of her birth, because they couldn't treat me for the colitis while I was pregnant, obviously, because of the baby, the treatment is steroids. So they couldn't give me anything at that point. After she was born, I lost 2 stone in 2 weeks. So I became so skinny and tiny, and I couldn't feed her. My body just didn't want to feed her, and the disease kind of racked me. And that's when they put me on steroids. So I was on steroid treatment for best part 2 years before I made the decision to have surgery. But it's a yo-yo. Sometimes it's under control, sometimes it's not. It goes up and down, but it just got to the point where I couldn't leave the house.
Yes.
My business was imploding, and I had to make this decision of should I just go for surgery, which I did, and I wish I'd done it sooner, to be honest.
And that, and excuse my ignorance, but that's the ileostomy, that's the fix, is that right?
Yeah, the stoma is, a stoma can be an ileostomy, a colostomy, or a urostomy, depending on what part of the body they come from. Mine is ileostomy because they removed the whole of my large intestine. So the whole of my colon and rectum were taken, and it's the end of my small intestine that protrudes through the wall of my abdomen, and I have a bag on it. Somebody who's got colostomy, that comes from the other side of the body where they've still got part of their large intestine. And so that's formed from the large intestine. So there is a big difference between the two.
And pulling towards your future, you now define yourself as being an ostomate triathlete. And that's an extraordinary accolade to be a triathlete in any case, but also the fact that the barrier will not get in your way and you'll overcome. And that's what you're on the open road of inspirational speaking all about.
Yeah. Not just with ostomy. I find a lot of people hear me and go, oh my God, I've heard your story. I took up Couch to 5K. And these are people who don't have stomas. So if that means I've inspired people to get up off the sofa, brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
A short while ago that it's a bit like a yo-yo managing the condition. I saw in researching you, which I was really delighted to do, last week you were posting about having had a complication in the sort of smooth, I suppose, prescription path. Would you like to say a bit more about that? Because you're writing something to help GPs now.
Yeah, definitely. Just this goes to show how the medical system needs to be right for ostomates, any age, any patient really. But in the case of an ostomate, what happened for me was my GP's practice, I put in my request for my normal stoma supplies online. They normally send it off, ping, on electronically to my supplier to send it. What happened, somebody at the GP's office printed off the prescription in the paper form, like you would for anything else, and just sent it down to the local pharmacy, which meant I didn't get my product, because by the time I'm going, where are they, we found out the problem. And in the meantime, I had to use a different product that I had, but I react badly to. So those who see my LinkedIn or on my socials will see this very, very red, raw, sore skin. And that's because I was having an allergic reaction to the product. But that was the consequences of somebody up the chain not doing the right steps. So I'm helping to educate GPs, GP practices. I want them to understand the consequences of one person's little error could have a big impact on a patient. I don't class myself as a patient, but, you know, they have a big impact on somebody else's life by not doing the thing right.
It's a very profound allegory about stakeholder management and about consequences of actions and how everybody's, you know, cog in the chain is so extremely important if there's to be no sand in the chain to get the cogs of everything moving smoothly.
And I do sit on a panel with lots of professionals, and we're working on the patient pathway, aiming to pass it into NICE for stoma care. So from pre-surgery stoma care, working with stoma care nurses, etc.
Yes.
So I'm already working on that anyway. But what I've now seen at the really grunt end is that the GP practice, you know, it can fall down at that last moment.
Yes.
Which is where the patient goes at the end of the day.
And remembering my acronyms, NICE is the National Institute for Clinical Excellence. Is that right?
Spot on. Yes. Well done. Sorry.
Go me. So, Caroline, it's my great privilege and joy to be able to curate you through the storyscape of the Good Listening To show. There's going to be a clearing, there's going to be a tree, there's going to be a lovely, juicy storytelling exercise called 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. There's going to be some alchemy, some gold, a golden baton, a cheeky bit of Shakespeare, and a cake. Hurrah! So it's all to play for. So shall we get you on the open road of that?
Yes, let's go for it. Let's get rolling.
So, first question then, your clearing is your serious happy place, which, by the way, is where energetically the whole podcast and radio show is set. So where would you say is Caroline Bramwell's clearing? Where is your serious happy place? Where do you go to get clutter-free, inspirational and able to think?
Mine is the woodland up at the back of my house. I'll take my dog, I've got a lurcher, and I'll take her for a walk up the back on the cairn. And there's a clearing, I mean, ironically, it is a little clearing at the top. Right at the very top, somebody's built a little den with sticks and there's a bench beside it to sit right at the top there. It's just fabulous. So that's, I've never met anyone else up there. It's so quiet. So,
and I love the fact that the notion of a clearing spoke to you in that you just said, oh, yes, that's the clearing. So,
oh, I knew it exactly. Yeah, instantly yeah. I knew it. Yeah, yeah.
So there we are then, in your clearing. Wonderful. Now I'm going to arrive with a tree in your clearing and a bit Waiting for Godot-esque, a bit deliberately existential because of my hecting background. We're now going to shake your tree to see which storytelling apples fall out. How do you like these apples? I've got a few comedy props to whip out at various points. But yes, so now this is where you've been kind enough to have thought through on the open road of telling your story in being an inspirational speaker to all, the interpretation of the exercise 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You've had 5 minutes to have thought about four things that have shaped you, three things that inspire you, and then two things that never fail to grab your attention. And that's where a couple of random squirrels are going to come in, borrowed from the film Up, where the dog's going, oh, squirrels, you know, what are your monsters of distraction? And then the one is a quirky or unusual fact about you. We couldn't possibly know about you until you tell us. It's not a memory test. So we're going to go back now.
Oh, it'll make you smile, I'll tell you that.
Wonderful. So let's get on the open road of interpreting your 4, 3, 2, 1, please. Over to you.
The four things that have shaped me, I would say, and I've played with this, and it really, I quite got emotional thinking about this actually. When I was at school, I went to an all-girls school, and I was bullied. I was bullied at school, and I was so quiet, and I just got quieter and quieter. It's only now as I look back at it and realise how the actions of people back then can just be carried through the rest of your life, but you don't consciously know you're doing it. So for me, it's the, oh, I'd better be quiet. Oh, I'd better be quiet. So I think that stopped me being the true me.
And there's a real interesting allegory there in about the notion of bullying in life, but also, you know, the notion which I've stumbled upon recently called quiet quitting, where people just begin to exit, almost using silence as a currency.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where it shuts people down. Thank you for that first shapeage. Anything else you'd like to tell us about that and how that's impacted you?
When I went to college, I then thought, I'm not going to be that person anymore. And I was a motorcyclist. I was into motorbikes back then, you know, boyfriends with motorbikes and stuff. And what I did, I went to college. I got a great big leather jacket off of a friend who was a Hell's Angel. He was passing it on, so I've got his leather jacket. So when I went to college, I was wearing this leather jacket, big energy, changed my name from Caroline to Carrie. And so there was a new persona. This new strong persona went through college. So, you know, it's quite weird how that made me go, oh.
Another testament to that was almost like the first major resilience test or obstacle in your life. And then to reinvent yourself wearing the Hell's Angels leathers.
Yeah.
Harry is in the building.
Yeah. Love, you'll love this. One of my bikes, I owned an old Jawa 350. It was a motorcycle and sidecar. It was an old rat. It had been hand-painted silver by a previous owner, and I rode to work on it every day wearing full Barry Sheen racing leathers.
And were you giving people a lift, or you just had all your clutter, your stuff?
At the weekends, it had people in it. I'd have a boyfriend on the back and his mate in the sidecar, and I was the one who'd turn up at the kebab shop at the end of the evening and take the helmet off, and all my hair flows out.
You've made two things, designated driver, but also Wallace and Gromit land where you were there.
Oh, it was. It really was Wallace and Gromit land. But it was brilliant. It was brilliant.
Shapeage of recovery from post-bullying to now being the sort of leather-clad metaphorical Hell's Angel stroke Wallace and Gromit stroke...
Yeah. Imagine Hell's Angel and Wallace and Gromit, yeah.
The station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one supplement brand, help you put back what life takes out. All-in-one comprehensive formulas created to offer you maximum benefit, whatever stage of life you're at. And with a range that supports everything from immunity, energy, cardiovascular health, joints, cognitive function, menopause, and even beauty. We've got you and your family covered. Premium ingredients packed into a powerful daily sachet. Simply mix with water to activate for a flavorful health drink. Perfect at home or on the go. Revive Active. Available at selected Holland & Barrett stores, Well Pharmacies, and online at Amazon and reviveactive.com. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
The station that makes you feel good.
Wonderful. Yes. And now we're at shapeage number three, please.
I'd say the second thing that shaped was my dad, because he passed away young. And so I think losing him, he was only 52 and I was in my early 20s. And I had literally just gone out and set up my business. And it was in that first 6 months of me setting up my business. And then my dad passed away of a heart attack.
And do you have siblings as well? Or this is...
Yeah, I've got two younger sisters as well. Yeah. So the impact on each of us was different. Yes. My next sibling down, she had just had a little boy. He was only 3 weeks old. So she was going through all of that with the death of my dad. And then my youngest sibling, who is 7 years younger than me, she was out on a riverboat cruise and didn't actually know. But we really are a very tight, close family. So,
and is your mother still with us as well?
She is, yes, she's still here. So, but we're all very, very close. So,
and did she ever remarry?
No, she has a long-term partner, but sadly he passed away as well. But she's now at the point that she's now got Parkinson's. So we're sort of looking after the care for her as well now, later in life.
But, another test of your resilience. There's a lovely through line here of resilience and obstacles and then finding the way. And if life gives you
and
them.
Supporting you others, I think. That's a big part I recognise in myself.
Yes.
I do things for other people. I do a lot for other people. Right. The third one clearly had to be my stoma surgery. Oof, big, big, big one. You know, trying to make the decision to have the surgery was massive. But I'd been at the point where my business had been imploding. I was losing clients, only because you have a turnover clients with marketing and PR marketing. You know, you have clients for a few years and then they change, etc. Yeah. But as they dropped off, I wasn't finding any new ones because I couldn't go out. I couldn't go to meetings. I went to one meeting with a client and I disappeared to their bathroom for an hour. They thought I'd left the building, but it wasn't. It was the impact of colitis. You are just so out of control with this disease. Yeah. And at that point, I thought, I can't go to meetings. I started to let my staff go because I didn't have as much income coming in. So that's where the business was just...
Unsurprising. A real restriction happening, absolutely.
Massively. Yeah. And my husband worked for me as well. So the impact was going to hit both of us in one go. Yeah. So that's why when I came to the point of thinking about surgery, having lived with this colitis and had the baby, the scenario of that decision was... A rare treat. I went to the cinema. He and I went out to the cinema. I rarely left the house. I hadn't eaten all day. I hadn't had any stress. I was trying to make sure I didn't have a flare up while I was out. All fine for the cinema. When we came out, urgency hit. Gone 11 at night, nowhere to go. Nothing's open. So I dive in the bushes by the car park and my husband's walking up and down on patrol, making sure nobody didn't see me hiding in the bushes for so long. When I eventually emerge, he said to me, I think we have to think about things. We need to make a decision. And I said, yeah, I think we do. His suggestion, I think we should install a portaloo in the back of the car. I went, no, that's not what I was thinking. I'm thinking surgery is now real. I'm ready for
and
surgery.
May I ask what the film was? Because, of course, you'll never not be able to.
I can't remember. Oh, he will, but I won't. He'll remember it, because to him, he remembers that night better than I do, because I've spent most of it in the bush.
When you can, ping me what the film was, because that's such an iconic film because of the wrong reason.
Yes, exactly. I'll have to ask him what it was.
It's probably called The Rustle in the Bushes or something, but anyway.
It's probably Russell Crowe in it. But yeah, so then making that decision to have surgery was a biggie. And whilst most people might think it's awful, it's awful, it's awful, actually, when I had it done, it was the best day ever, because I was so ready for it. I'd gone into it open-minded. I'd gone through the mental side of it beforehand, stuck a few bags on my body to see what it looked like, had a good cry, and prepped myself. And then when they actually did it, they took away this humongous bowl of tablets that I would take on a daily basis and went, you don't need these now. Because literally, they've cut away all the disease. They had to wean me off the steroids, but it was all the other tablets I had to take as a side effects. And I came out smiling. I was told I woke up smiling because I've got this thing. And I was discharged within 2 days. But I was the first person in the world to have single-site keyhole surgery for this procedure, which means even though I knew I was going to have keyhole surgery, my surgeon created the one hole, did all of it through the one, and then brought my stoma out through it. So I've actually got no scars on my body because it was all done through there. So it took him about an hour or two longer than it normally would, but actually it meant I could get home with less slicing up and chopping up at my body.
So, and again, with the through line of resilience, it's wonderful in the world of coaching about how you've reframed your experience in order to bring in the new reality. But by reframing it in a positive, optimistic way, it solves a problem and creates a whole new future.
Yeah, because I think at the time when I spoke to the consultant beforehand, he said, well, you could get the stoma, but we'll leave that last little bit of rectum left, because later on you might decide you want to have it reconnected and have what we call an internal pouch. I knew that would mean more surgeries. Now, I had a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old, and I just said, no, quality of life is what I want. I want to be with the kids. Just do it once, be done with it.
Yes.
And that's what I did. I made the decision there and then to just say, give me the whole works. So I had everything removed, so there's no going back. And I've got what we call in the ostomy world a Barbie butt, because it just got zipped up. So so the girls have Barbie butts.
I'm so sorry. I love that. Sorry, the Barbie butt.
Yeah, and it's common in ostomy world. You're either a Barbie butt or a Ken butt. So, yeah. But
yeah, and so off the steroids, because you don't want to end up with a Ken butt.
No, I don't want a Ken butt. To be honest, my butt's never going to look like Barbie's, but too much cycling.
I like it's called a Barbie butt. Thank you.
So having that decision was my big shaper, because that's what made me start looking at getting fit again.
Yes.
Because I couldn't look in the mirror, I'd cry if I saw myself because I'd blown out with steroids, puffed up. So I turned to sport.
And as you mentioned earlier, when you first had some photographs done, the photographs you sent me of what you are now about, you wear your bag with a sort of majestic, here it is. Da-da.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so helpful.
Yeah.
That's trailblazing too.
One of those songs, you know, somebody says, what's the song for you? I'd go, this is me from The Greatest Showman. That will be it. This is exactly me. So, so I turned to sport just to get fit to do things with the kids, really.
Yes.
Didn't realise how driven I was by bits of bling.
As I speak to Caroline, those of you listening on the old podcast and radio show, she's got an absolute, well, there's about, it looks like there are about 25 little blinging lanyards there of your triathletic awesomeness.
Yeah, all my triathlon medals, London Marathon medal, all sorts hanging up there. So, I turned to cycling first. So I cycled London to Paris in 24 hours a year after my surgery, just to prove to myself, hey, I can get out of the house. I don't have to hide behind trees. I'm not watching for a toilet all the time. So I did that to prove to myself and learned to cope with my bag on endurance event. Yes. And then I did another one 2 years after that, Newcastle to London.
And again, that must be so helpful for anybody else with the same condition to prove that, look, this is how free and liberated you can be.
Absolutely. It is very liberating having a bag. When you've lived with a condition that has held you back and kept you at home, whilst people fear surgery, it's actually, what does it give you?
It gave me freedom,
quality of life.
And if I may, next time we record, you should maybe change your monitor to Caroline Barbie Butt Bramwell.
That's Barbie Butt Bramwell. I like that. Yeah, Barbie Butt Bramwell.
There's an iteration there that's just a gift that will keep on giving.
Oh, yes.
I believe now we're onto the three things that inspire you now.
Yeah. The three things that have inspired me was always, historically, people who do phenomenal things on telly. I would sit on the sofa and watch the Tour de France, the Ironman and Marathon du Sable, you know, all these bizarre extreme sports that you watch on telly, those what inspire me. Watching people cross that finish line and the elation of what they went through, those were my inspiring things.
And while I remember to mention, you're featured, are you not, in the Louise Minchin book?
Yes, Louise Minchin's book, Fearless Adventures with Extraordinary Women. She popped up in my inbox back in 2021, I think it was now, and said, oh, it's Louise off the telly. And you know, you think it's spammy.
Yes.
And it really was Louise off the telly.
Did you know that I've already interviewed Louise off the telly around about the time of publishing her book? There's a series strand that I do called Good Books, where you get to put your book on a metaphorical plinth within the clearing.
Oh, brilliant.
And Louise Minchin's been in the show, so that's one I'll definitely send you.
Brilliant, yes. Back in 18, when my book came out, Lou Rolls to Lycra came out, I was in Waterstones. My publisher had got it in Waterstones. And I went in there all excited. Great, people are going to buy my book. But right next to it was Louise's first book called Dare to Try. And I went, oh, great. A TV celebrity doing triathlon as well. So what I did, I put both the books side by side on the end of the shelf, photographed them, put it on socials, tagged her and went, I guess this is the only time we'll ever race.
Another resilience through line there is the notion that comparison is the thief of happiness, because you belonged in Waterstones right next to. In other words, your feet are under the table too. You belong next.
But it's a great analogy also, because I say to people with their PR, fits brilliantly for me for PR. PR is about drip, 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 drip. You never know who you're influencing. Yes. You never know who's watching. At some moment, something's going to pop up. For me?
Yes. Yeah.
It was Louise Minchin popped into my inbox and said, can we have an adventure together? What are you doing? And I said, well, I've booked in to do Cotswold 113, which is a half iron distance, 113 kilometres. So this is a lake swim, then a bike, and then a half marathon.
And she went,
it's just your every Sunday afternoon jaunt, you know? And so she said, brilliant, I'll do it with you. So that was going to be our adventure. So we did the triathlon together. She interviewed me in the field afterwards. Then she wrote the book. And, we've all become good friends. All the women in Fearless, we've become really good friends and we're doing stuff together. We're trying each other's sports out and all sorts. We're just cheering Kadena Cox on at the Paralympics just about a month ago, didn't we?
Yes.
So, she's one of our little team, but she's phenomenal. We sat up late at night chewing the cud over hidden disabilities. So watching sports, inspirational sport, was one of my things that inspired me.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Stop suffering with pet-related allergies when near dogs and cats. Great news, you can feel safe around pets with Nasal Guard for pet lovers. Nasal Guard topical gel blocks pet dander, hair, and dust mites from entering your nasal passages. Try Nasal Guard for pet lovers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about Nasal Guard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, ant and deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
The other thing that inspires me now is seeing other people take action when they've heard what I've done. We touched on that very briefly earlier. For somebody to come to me and say, I've heard about you, I've seen what you've done. Because of you, I've taken up Couch to 5K or I've started to go to parkrun. I could never do what you do, but I'm doing this. They inspire me. And those are the reasons that I push my boundaries. Because people are starting to do things. And I think this is fantastic. If by doing what I do helps them and them telling me that, that just inspires me more just to keep pushing those boundaries.
It's the beauty of reciprocity. That's one of my favourite words about how we all influence each other. So reciprocity is a beautiful word. And bless you for being able to make people aspire to reciprocate.
And I love that. And clearly, obviously, my children were my inspiration. I would never have got in a pool. When I took up this cycling malarkey after surgery, I couldn't swim. So, you know, for me, my children were...
And it went deeper than that, didn't it? Excuse the analogy, you're afraid of water immersion.
I was terrified. Yeah, I would hyperventilate and panic if I got my face wet. So for me, the first step, I only got in a pool because I thought, I want to swim with my children.
So sorry, if you're terrified of getting your face wet, did you never have showers or anything?
I know. I've done these two big 24-hour cycle things. And then it's like, well, what next? What can I do next? And then I thought, do you know what? It doesn't need to be anything big. I'll just learn to swim. I was one of these people that would stay in your depth and just never get your face wet, you know. So I did. I just started taking swimming lessons. And once I got hooked, my brain said, oh, you can swim. Oh, you can ride a bike. Oh, anybody can run. You just put a foot in front of the other. And I thought, well, maybe I could just do a little local triathlon or something like that.
If so, I may, it's really obvious and clear how tenacious you are, and that is a compliment. I know there's yins and yangs to tenacity. One of my great traits in life is I'm tenacious too, but one of the things that can piss people off the most is how tenacious I am.
I think I'm just one of those, why not? Let's give it a go, people. Yeah. So from there I decided, once I could swim one length, I thought, that's it, I could do triathlon. And I found
again, directly equivalent to couch to 5K, you're just doing it length. You're just moving a few notches on your GPS to where you're heading to.
Yeah. And for me, just getting my head under the water was the biggie. It took me weeks to get my head underwater. And once I did, I'm like, wow, this is phenomenal on there. So, and it was just learning the technique. And so I then found the tri club. I went and joined the North Devon Tri Club and join them, and then realize
you sent me that I've used as your main mother picture, if you like. I'm going to reveal later on, and you look absolutely extraordinarily powerful within a red swimming hat.
So the picture that they'll see later from there is actually me coming out of the sea. We did that down at in the sea. But the tri club, I've stayed with the tri club, and I realized quite how bad I was when I'm suddenly swimming with Ironman. People who've done Ironman was just scary.
A testament to slow incremental progress. You don't have to be able to swim,
absolutely,
do a triathlon straight away. It's a sort of process and a journey.
It's all incremental. And through lockdown, I actually got myself qualified as a tri coach. So I've actually gone on to become a qualified triathlon coach as well. So because I love teaching people to swim, particularly, ironic.
Yes.
The girl who couldn't swim now absolutely loves teaching swimming. So for me, again, it's about giving people things. So those are my three inspiring things.
And now we're going to borrow from the film Up, squirrels. So what never fail to grab your attention? What are your monsters of distraction? Your squirrels that never fail to distract you.
Oh, it's always going to be something. It's always going to be a race. Or I'll tell you what it is. When somebody puts a clip of an Ironman race and the music at the start, and it's like, oh, which one's that? Oh, could I do that one? It's that power, the pull of a race. And people go, oh, I'm thinking about doing such and such. And I'll go, oh, yeah, maybe I could do that.
A lot of the Ironman races, the same music. So it's like an icon music.
Typically they use Thunderstruck from AC/DC. When you're standing on the side of the water, they start playing it, it builds up.
My podcast producer is an expert at underpinning at this point, so we're going to get a bit of AC/DC Thunderstruck.
I tell you, that just gets me in my heart, because that's what we hear as we're stood at the edge of the water waiting to get in. And then the other thing has got to be exotic locations. You know, when you suddenly scroll a bit and suddenly reels pop up of these amazing places, and I'm like, I could go there.
I'm gonna swim there.
I do. I always say I could get in that water. It really is. So there's lots of exotic places I'd love to go. So if I see one drift across my screen, I'm off. It's like, oh.
On Friday, by the way, I'm interviewing two people from something called Emergency Duo. It's a husband and wife team who are doing some extreme cold swimming, going to the coldest places on the planet to swim at the North and the South Pole. So I'll tag you with that. I'll send that to you as well.
Ah, well, Kath Pendleton, who is in Fearless, is the first woman to ever swim the Arctic Mile.
I don't think I'll be following in that.
I know. She does ice diving, and I'm like, yeah, I might go and do a bit of an ice dive maybe with her. I've got to build up to that, because you've got to get your body used to that extreme cold. But to go from one hole under another, I'm like, maybe.
Wow.
So, my distractions are either exciting-looking races or exotic places.
No one's ever said their distraction is an ice hole before. That's extraordinary. Okay, now we're on to a quirky or unusual fact about your Caroline Ionostomy, or not bubble, but sorry, that's the wrong thing.
Barbie butt.
Sorry. Don't edit that out. That's funny. But Barbie butt. Bramwell, what is a quirky or unusual fact about you we couldn't possibly know until you tell us?
Now, this is funny. You'll love this, because it does link into my bike and sidecar. I used to be a Viking.
Oh.
I used to do medieval combat many years ago in my late teens, early 20s. I used to train every weekend in medieval combat, and we used to go out and put performances on. We'd get hired to do shows. They were not choreographed. It was proper fighting, but all our weapons were blunted. But we trained solidly to make sure that we pull the blow so we don't whack full force.
I have had the Vikings Valhalla fight stunt coordinator called Richard Ryan on my show as well.
Oh, my God. We were part of Vikings at Valhalla.
Oh, that's amazing.
Oh, my God. I used to be, I was up in Buckinghamshire. That's where I was when I used to train with the Vikings at Valhalla. And so,
you might have met Richard Ryan, who is the stunt coordinator. I was at the Bristol Vic Theatre School with him way back when, and then he was amazing, because he's out there. He lives in America now, but every season he is the stunt and fight coordinator.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, we used to train in full gear.
Yeah.
With chainmails a lot. Picture my racked bike, my motorcycle with sidecar, boyfriend on the back. The sidecar didn't have a man in it. I had weapons in it.
I can imagine following you in your motorbike with your sidecar with all that weaponry poking out, thinking, I wonder where she's going.
Especially when you've got your furry leg things on and wearing chainmail. Yeah, and a crash helmet.
That's proper Viking geekery beautifully right there.
Couldn't miss me every week. But we would go and do performances, but we'd get hired in to come and do proper battles. But we would educate. It was an educational thing as well. So we would talk, somebody would talk about the weapons, the period. We used to get hired by Skull Lager. Do you remember Skull?
I just score. Yes.
Yeah.
You're supposed to drink out of a friend's head, aren't you?
Yeah, well, I've still got my drinking horn. But what they did was they provided as an amphibious vehicle that was done up as a Viking ship. So we'd all get on it, just out of the town, come banging our way into the town to the pub with weapons clashing. And then we would do some battle reenactment stuff in their car parks. And they would pair us up. So they would go, right, what should we have now? I know, why don't we have the guy with the spear with the person with the two swords? So they would put me up against a man with a spear and say, who do you think might win this one?
I can imagine sitting in the pub when suddenly the marauding Viking hordes arrive. You think, oh, somebody's about to get raped and pillaged.
Exactly. No other women did it. And I would wear a helmet so my hair was hidden and my chainmail sort of flattened everything. And it was only when the helmet comes off they realise I was a girl underneath. And the kids always cheered for the girl. So the children, when they said, who is your champion? And the kids wanted me to beat the men up. So that was my weird fact.
Viking Bramwell as well.
Viking Bramwell.
You just keep changing. So now we've shaken your tree. Hurrah. Next, we stay in the clearing, move away from the tree. And now we're going to talk about alchemy and gold. When you're at purpose and in flow, Caroline Bramwell, what are you absolutely happiest doing in what you're here to reveal to the world?
I embody the care and provision of services for ostomates. I've really stepped into that realm. It's having lived it myself, and I hear so many people who have bad experiences. I hear a lot who are doing great. And you look online, the people online are generally the ones who are having a bad time. The ones who are having a good time are out having a good time. So I see so much lacking and support needed that I'm absolutely passionate about making sure we get things right for people.
Yes.
And that means going into GP practices. It's influencing NICE, getting involved with projects like that. So I do that here in the UK. I sit on the board of the European Ostomy Association as well. So I see the differences in different countries. Norway have got it fabulous. And yet Africa, we cover Africa as well, they've got it very poor. And you see the extremes across the world, Europe and the world. So for me, my absolute passion and flow is about making a difference.
Are you a global ambassador officially in that regard?
On a European level, I suppose, because I sit on the European Ostomy Board. And I sit as a part of that, I sit on the International Ostomy Association Board as well. But that's only a more recent one.
Yes.
You know, it's rare for us to meet together face to face very often. So, but yeah, that's my passion, to drive that better, to do more and utilise what I've got, my voice, my abilities to help people. So that's my absolute passion, is to live the best life with an ostomy that you could for each person.
You're a trailblazer, you really are, which I said about you at the beginning, and I'm absolutely convinced of that. And now we're going to award you with a cake, Caroline Ostomy Bramwell. And this is where you, do you like cake, first of all?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, definitely a cake girl.
What cake would you like?
Oh, you can't beat a Victoria sponge, but I just cooked a ginger and lemon drizzle the other day, so that's still half of that in the house.
Go you.
Yep.
Okay, so I'm going to put a cherry on your cake now. Be that your lemon, your ginger lemon drizzle, go you with the eclectic mix there, or your Victoria sponge. This is stuff like now. What's a favourite inspirational quote that's always given you succour and pulled you towards your future?
Mine is the one I've embodied as anything is possible. I use it, but I've embodied it as well. So,
and I saw that on your website too, which we will mention very overtly at the very end too, to book you as an inspirational speaker. So just say that lovely quote once again.
Anything is possible.
Boom. What's the best piece of advice you've ever been given?
This was from my dad before he passed away. In that little 6 months we had together, when I was setting up in my business, he said to me, be prepared to step on a few toes. And I thought, yeah, you have to.
With the great gift of hindsight, what notes, help or advice might you proffer to a younger version of Caroline Bramwell?
Oh, this one goes back to when I was being bullied. And I would say to myself now that not to let anyone dim your light. You need to be brave and speak up because people will follow you. And when I thought that, that just came to me when I got that question from you. And I've reflected how much that means to me now, as much as it would have done back then. So I thought that was quite poignant.
And just say that one more time. I'm just deliberately reframing it again.
Yeah, it is. Never let anyone dim your light. Be brave, speak up, because others will follow.
Beautiful. We're ramping up to Shakespeare to talk about legacy in just a moment. But just before we get there, this is the pass the golden baton moment, please. So now you've experienced this from within by being given your damn good listening to in the Good Listening To show, Stories of Distinction and Genius. Who would you most like to pass the golden baton along to keep the golden thread of the storytelling going?
She doesn't know this yet, but I will be telling her. I'd like to pass the baton on to a lady called Danny Wallace. Danny is from IATQB.com, which is I Am the Queen Bee. She is a speaker coach. She went from being homeless to making £1 million, and she has got a big voice and helping others to share their voice. So I would pass this to Danny Wallace.
Wonderful. Thank you for that wonderful gift. And now, inspired by Shakespeare and all the world's esteemed and all the merely players, this is the moment where we're borrowing from the speech from Jaques in As You Like It to talk about legacy. When all is said and done, Caroline Ionostomy Bramwell, how would you most like to be remembered?
I think my legacy has to be that there is a clear pathway and process for people going through surgery for an internal pouch or a stoma, and it's right every single time, and they get that best care. So my legacy is to have a program in place that is adopted that everyone gets the same level of treatment.
Where can we find out all about you on the old interweb, Caroline?
There are two places I'm going to share with you. Talk to me as carolinebramwell.co.uk. That is where you can find me as a speaker. And I talk not just on stoma life, but the implications. There's so many analogies from what I've done. But also ostomylife.co.uk. Ostomy Life is a new CIC social enterprise that I've set up because people who are fearing surgery, they worry about food, they worry about exercise, and I've created Ostomy Life as a community interest company to help them in that area. And I've got TV's Greg Wallace, who also I do stuff. I am his ostomy expert, and he's completely behind what I'm doing there. So ostomylife.co.uk, and that website is now growing. There will be a lot more content on there.
You've also featured with Rafaela Arib Ilgenfritz on UK Health Radio. That's another really rich resource. It's the world's number one talk health radio, and just tell us a bit more about featuring with her on her show Stoma for Life.
Yes, she invited me to be a guest with her, exploring the details of my triathlons, I suppose, which was fantastic. And she and I have connected in a whole different way. So I'm hoping that we can do some more together off the back of that as well.
And I'm very grateful for Rafaela having passed you the golden baton in the first place. So the trail is blazing away beautifully. Thank you very much indeed for that. As this has been your moment in the sunshine in the Good Listening To show, Stories of Distinction and Genius, is there anything else you'd like to say, Caroline?
I just want to say thank you. And I want to say also to anybody out there who's confronting surgery, don't be afraid, reach out. I'm happy to talk to people. So my doors are always open to people who are struggling. If I can't help you, I'll know somebody who can.
Wonderful. So you've been listening to The Good Listening To Show, Stories of Distinction and Genius. If you'd like a conversation about guesting too, this is thegoodlisteningtoshow.com. It's also a show on UK Health Radio where you get a week in the sunshine, and that gives you an audience reach through this vehicle of 1.4 million listeners across 54 countries and growing. So it's all very, very exciting. So if you'd like to be my guest too, you can do that too. So thank you so much. It's been an absolute privilege and a delight speaking to you. So tune in next time for more stories from The Clearing. You've been listening to The Good Listening To Show with me, Chris Grimes. If you'd like to be in the show too, or indeed gift an episode to capture the story of someone else with me as your host, then you can find out how, care of the series strands at the goodlisteningtoshow.com website. And one of these series strands is called Good Books. If you've always wanted to write your autobiography but have always got a bit stuck, then maybe Good Books and The Good Listening To Show can help. Using the unique structure of the show with me, Chris Grimes, as your host, together we can take a trip down memory lane as we record the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 of your life story, all set in the clearing or serious happy place of your choice. So yes, get in touch if you'd like some help in writing your very own good book in the form of your autobiography. The story behind the story of being you. Tune in next week for more stories from The Clearing. And don't forget to subscribe and review wherever you get your podcasts.